I'll ask you a question here. What would you see if you saw Jesus? In Luke chapter 19, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." There in verse number 3, to see Jesus. To see Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, I come to you again now in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I pray, Lord, that you fill me with your Spirit here today. I pray, Lord, you use me. I pray, Lord, you give me wisdom and guidance and clarity of thought and direction to speak your word the way you want it spoken here today, Lord. Use me and do what you do, and that's to speak to the hearts of those here today. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and honor for what we do here today. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, throughout all the Scriptures, we see the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. Okay, the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we see these throughout the Scripture. Now, Jesus is the very Son of God. He came in the flesh. He is God manifested in the flesh. And Jesus is God's way of revealing Himself to all mankind. You see, without a human form, God could not have dwelt among men. Without a human form, God could not have sacrificed Himself on the cross of Calvary for the sin debt of all mankind. That could only be done by God appearing in the flesh, right? The appearance was complete. Through the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. You got to get that. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." You see, it was in God's perfect time, in God's will, in His perfect time, that He sent the perfect gift. Jesus Christ is that perfect gift, and it was in the fullness of time. It wasn't a day too early, and it wasn't a day too late. It was right on time. Now, generation after generation, the Jews have longed for, they've looked for that promised Messiah to come. They have been looking for the deliverer of Israel. You see, they expected Him to come as some great warrior, a great general, someone who was going to restore the nation of Israel to greatness again. They expected Him to rule and reign in Jerusalem. They never expected the Messiah to be born in a manger. Right? They never expected Him to come in a lowly form, a lowly manger in Bethlehem. I mean, nothing good comes out of Bethlehem, right? They expected He would rule from the throne of David, and He would execute judgment upon the nations and the people of the world. But listen, they had it wrong. They had it wrong. They did not understand the Messiah, who the Messiah is, who the Messiah came for. The Bible tells us in our Scripture that we just read why Jesus came. It tells us why the Messiah came there in verse 10, that Jesus, the Son of Man, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Right, that's why Jesus came. He came to save sinners, and hallelujah, praise the Lord, I'm glad He did, because that was me, right? That is me, and that's all of us here, right? That is us, and that was Paul when he said in 1 Timothy 1:15 that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, right? And that is what Zacchaeus saw here in our text when he saw Jesus. He saw Jesus. You see, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. We know the story, right? Jesus was coming to town, and so he climbed up into a sycamore tree because he wanted to get a glimpse of Jesus. Just one glimpse. Oh, if I could only see Jesus. Now, I'm sure we've all seen great things in life. We see magnificent things in life, right? Maybe we've seen the Grand Canyon, or maybe we've seen other things in life. Even the birth of a child, right? A great thing, a miracle, but oh, to see Jesus. Oh, to see Jesus, right? Hey, have you seen Jesus? What would you see if you saw Jesus? Right? If you could see Jesus right now, what would you see? Let me give you some thoughts. Number one, I believe that you would see yourself as a sinner. I believe you would see yourself as a sinner there in verse number 2 of Luke chapter 19. It says, "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." You see, Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector among the publicans. And we know about tax collectors, right? Tax collectors were known as being dishonest. They would rob people of not only their taxes, but they would charge people more than what the tax was so they could put it in their pocket. And that is how Zacchaeus became rich, right? He would charge people more and keep it for himself. And now Zacchaeus, as a rich man, he had all the pleasures that money could buy. Okay, he was a publican, the Bible says, and so that means that he was in a class of his own. He was in the class of sinners. He was in the class of sinners, but he had a desire. He had a desire to see Jesus, and he really longed to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. Oh, when he saw Jesus, everything changed. You get that? Everything changed. You see, Isaiah, if you turn over to Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah saw the Lord in His holiness on His throne in Isaiah chapter 6. Look there in verse number 1 there, starting there in verse number 1 in Isaiah chapter 6. Hold your place there in Luke chapter 19 because we'll be back, but flip over to Isaiah chapter 6 and look here in verse number 1. Isaiah saw the Lord in His holiness on His throne. In Isaiah 6:1, the Bible says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried on another and said," get this, "Holy, holy, holy." You get that? "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." You see, Isaiah saw the Lord, and what is going on the throne is you got these seraphims going 24 hours a day, calling out, screaming out, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And Isaiah saw this, and look there at verse 5. In verse 5 there it says, "Then said I, woe is me! Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King." You get that? "For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah said, "Hey, I have seen the King. I have seen the Lord. I have seen His holiness. And woe is me. Woe is me, for I am undone." You see, when you see Jesus, you'll see yourself as just how sinful that you are. Okay? And we can see the same response in Peter. Peter had the same situation going on in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 8. It says, "When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" When he saw Jesus, when he really saw Jesus for who He was, as holy, 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 he fell down on his knees and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. You see, Peter not only fell to his knees, he realized how sinful he was. Now, you take the average Christian today in our world, and the average Christian today appears completely sanctified, right? They must think that they're living in their glorified body because, hey, most Christians today never think of walking an aisle. They never think of having to confess any sins in their life. They never think about coming into the presence of a holy, holy, holy God, right? They never need a refilling of the Holy Spirit. They never need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? They only need one or two sermons a month, right? Hey, I don't need to come to church. I only need one or two a month, right? So many Christians today never come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. You see, maybe it's because you know if you come to Jesus, if you see Jesus, you will see just how sinful you really are. You see, when Isaiah saw the Lord, he saw his sinfulness. When Peter saw the Lord, he saw his sinfulness. And when Zacchaeus saw Jesus Christ, he saw the Lord, he saw his sinfulness here. The reason Christians today do not see their sin is because they never come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You get next to Jesus and things are going to change. Things are going to change in your life. Why? Because you will see your sinfulness. You will see the need to fall before the face of a holy, righteous God. You see, in Isaiah 64:6, the Bible says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Everything that we think is good about us, God says it is filthy rags. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Yes, the wages of sin is still death. If you don't see sin in your life, it's because you haven't been in the presence of the one who is holy. Holy, holy, holy. Zacchaeus just wanted to see Jesus. He just wanted to put his eyes upon Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, he saw how sinful he was. Let me give you a second thing here. When you see Jesus, you'll see yourself as dead. You'll see yourself as dead. If you could turn back to Luke chapter 19 there, and we'll pick it up in verse 3. In verse 3 there he says, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." In verse 5, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." You see, Zacchaeus showed a desperation, a need, a desire to see Jesus. Despite all the wealth that he had, his fame, his wealth, whatever it might be, the pleasures of life that he had, he was empty and dead inside, and he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. In Isaiah 59:2, the Bible says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." You see, that sin has separated us. Why? Because God is holy. And when we choose to sin, we are choosing to live a lifestyle separated from God. Because God is holy. And he turns his face from us and he will not hear us. But Zacchaeus here wanted to see Jesus so badly that nothing else mattered. He forgot all the things that was going around him. And he humbled himself. He humbled himself to climb up into a tree. He humbled himself because he wanted to see the Lord. John saw Jesus up on his throne in Revelation chapter 1 in verse number 17. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." Right? John was given a vision in heaven here in Revelation chapter 1. And Verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Right? Dead. Coming to a holy, righteous God. You come into his presence. What he did for me, how he saved me on the cross of Calvary. I come into his presence. John fell at the feet of the Lord as though he was dead. Here we go. Many Christians today think that we can just walk right up to a holy, righteous God in our own goodness, in our own self-righteousness. Because I'm a good person, God is going to take me to heaven when I die. Because I am so good. That's not what the Bible teaches. All my righteousnesses are as filthy rags, you see. We think God is our buddy. We think God is just someone up there. He's just pulling strings and making movements just to give us blessings upon blessings and grant me with all this money and heaven. God's up in heaven just waiting to bless me with all these things, right? But that's a lie of the devil. God is holy, 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 and he sits on his throne and the seraphims are crying out, holy, 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 all day long. And John is given a vision and he falls down on his face. You see, you come before Jesus Christ, you will see yourself as dead. Now, I want to give you three things I'm talking about here with death. First, I want you to see here, we're talking about death to self. Death to self. If you could, again, hold your place here in Luke chapter 19 and flip over to Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, in verses 24 and 25, I want to give you a couple things here about death. We're talking about death to self. Death to self in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. This speaking about the death to self. Paul says it like this. He says, I die daily. I die daily. I die daily to my flesh. I die daily to my selfish wants. I die daily to the things of this world. Hey, physically speaking, a dead person does not exist, does he? A dead person is dead. He does not consider himself at all. He's dead. Right? So we need to picture that. A dead person. I am to die to myself, my desires, right? My wants are all dead. They're all dead. Okay? Death to self is what we're talking about here. But also, I want you to see here that we're talking about death to the things of this world. In 1 John 2:15, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know that verse, right? We're not to love the world. The things that are around us, the things that money can buy, and the things that drive us to work more and to spend more and to buy more. Hey, the Bible says we're not to love those things. Those things are temporary. They're physical. They burn up. They die. They rust. And you got to get more, okay? We're not to love those things, the pleasures of the world. We are to love God. God is to have a domain in our life. He's to have first place. Our eyes should be looking up to Him, loving the Lord more than anything else. Again, death to self. Death to the things in this world. The Bible says there, if we have a love for earthly things around us, the Bible says that we do not love the Lord. We do not love the Lord. But also I want you to see here that death to sin. Right? Not only a death to the things of the world and the death to myself, but also a death to sin. If you could turn over to Romans chapter 6, I want to show you these two verses here. In Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. In Romans chapter 6, in verse 6 and 7, we're talking here about death to sin. As a Christian, we really shouldn't be sinning anymore. When we sin, we choose to sin. And so we're talking about death to sin here. Romans 6, verses 6 and 7 It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. My old man is crucified on the cross. That old man who wanted to please his flesh and live in life in sin and live for the devil, he died on that cross. The pleasures of the flesh, the pleasures of the world, the pleasures of sin died on that cross. And when Jesus went to that cross, he took my old man with him. And he died there on that cross. Nailed it to the cross. Dead. Gone. I am dead to sin. I shouldn't sin anymore. I'm dead to sin. But I'm what? I'm alive in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is holy, holy, holy. I am dead to sin. And when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, He makes you alive. And you are free from sin. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about that. And you at the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You see, as a lost person, I'm walking dead man and I don't even know it. I'm dead in my sins. I'm dead in my trespasses. The very moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, He quickens you and He makes you alive. And at that very moment, I am freed from sin. You get that? Amen. Hallelujah. I am freed from sin. And you know what else? He gives us a promise. Hey, if I do sin after I get saved, I can freely come to Him. I can come before the throne of grace and I can ask for forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's A-L-L. That means all of it. That means every single one. All sins are covered under the blood. Forgiven if you ask Him to forgive you. Hey, when you see Jesus, things are going to change. Things are going to change. Zacchaeus saw Jesus and he saw how sinful he was. He saw himself as dead. And number three here, I want you to see here that when you see Jesus, you will see your need to worship Him. You'll see your need to worship Him. If you could turn back to Luke chapter 19 and look there at verses 5 and 6. Luke 19, 5 and 6, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Now Zacchaeus, we see here that he was desperate to see Jesus. He was willing to suffer and do what it took, and that's why he climbed into that tree so he could see Jesus. We need to be like Zacchaeus. We need to look after like Zacchaeus and seek the place where we can see Jesus and worship Him. Now, I believe Gilead Baptist Church is that place. Gilead Baptist Church is that place where we seek to honor the Lord and glorify the Lord. And we seek to have Jesus Christ in the very midst of our church. And a church of loving people, wanting to worship, wanting to serve the Lord. All right? If I was looking for a church, I would come to Gilead Baptist Church. I would. I would come here because we have great people who just want to serve the Lord and worship the Lord. And the point of that is when you see Jesus, you're going to see your need to worship Him. Now, if you could flip over to Exodus chapter 3. You see, Moses saw his need to worship God. In Moses chapter number 3, in Exodus chapter 3 here with Moses, Exodus chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, look there in verse number 1. Exodus chapter 3, in verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. God came in the form of a burning bush. And Moses says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw nigh, draw not nither, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Hey, Moses, you're in the presence of that holy, holy God here. And look at verse 6. He says, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And get this. And Moses hid his face. Moses hid his face. Why? Because he was in the presence of a holy, holy, holy God. He felt his need to worship the Lord. Moses realized he needed to bow down on his face and worship the Lord. I know there's many Christians that don't require much worship. Right? They don't come to Sunday school. They skip church. And they never come on Sunday afternoon, or they don't even know what Wednesday night looks like. Apparently, they don't need to be in the presence of Jesus Christ as much as me. Right? I need Him all the time. I need more of Him, not less of Him. Right? The less you have of Him, that means the world is going to take a bigger grip in you. Right? The less of Him, the more you're going to get filled with the things of the world. The more temptation it's going to be to love the things of the world. You see, we need more of Him. If you love Jesus, you'll obey Him. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 27, the Bible says, And He answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. You see, the presence of Jesus will demand that you worship Him. Let me give you a fourth thing here. The presence of Jesus, or seeing Jesus, will make you see your need to witness. It'll make you see your need to witness. If you turn back to Luke chapter 19, in verse number 8 and 9 here. Luke 19, verses 8 and 9. And the Bible says, And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. You see, Zacchaeus had seen himself as a sinner. He had seen the salvation of Jesus Christ. Salvation had come to him today. Zacchaeus had repented. He had changed his life, and he's going to go on and even give back four times what he had taken from those that he'd wronged. Right? I believe when you see Jesus for salvation, you will see the value of souls. You will see the value of souls. If you could flip over to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, look there in verse 23. Luke chapter 14 and verse 23. The Bible says, And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Hey, go out. Go out. Go out. Mark 16:15, Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. All those lost people in Macon aren't just going to file in here, single file, in a nice orderly line, just coming in. Right? We got to go out. We got to compel them to come in. We got to go out, give them the gospel. But see, when you see Jesus, I believe you will see the value of a soul. I believe that you will see your need to witness. Hey, God asked Isaiah in Isaiah 6:8, He said, Who will go? He said, There, he said, Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Send me. Isaiah said, Lord, I'll go. You realize that in Macon there is a lost person on every block in Macon. There is a sinner, in at least one sinner on every street that needs salvation today. There is somebody out there right now that is ready to be saved if we could just go and tell them. It might be the doctor's office. It might be the grocery store. It might be at work. Hey, the woman at the well met Jesus Christ. She met Jesus Christ. Let's flip over there in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, I want to show you this. A woman at the well met Jesus Christ. She saw Jesus Christ. And then she went and told people told people what Jesus had done. In John chapter 4, let me just read a few verses there, if you could, with me, in verse 25. John chapter 4 and verse number 25 says, "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." In verse 26, "Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." And look at verse 28. "And the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him." Hey, she went and told. She went and told what Jesus did for her. And they said, she said, "Hey, come see a man." In verse 39, look what happened. It says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him." You get that? "Believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that I ever did." Right? She had a need. She saw Jesus. She had seen the value of a soul. So she went and told people about Jesus. Hey, you might say, "Well, I don't know what to say." What did the woman at the well say? What did the woman at the well say? Just go and tell. Tell what Jesus has done for you. Tell people how Jesus has saved you. Right? Maybe the reason we don't go is because we're not grateful for what Jesus has done for us. Maybe we do not really see Jesus in His holiness. You see, I got one more point I want to give you to here today. Not only will you see the need to witness, but you're also going to be seeking His return. You're going to be longing for His return. When you see Jesus in His holiness, you're going to be longing for the return of Jesus Christ. In Luke 19:10, the Bible tells us why Jesus came. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's Jesus only. That's not Buddha. That's not religion. That's not a church. That's Jesus Christ only. Jesus is the only one who seeks and saves the lost. Jesus is the one who sought out Zacchaeus. Right? He had to go through Jericho. Wasn't on the list. It wasn't on the thing to do. But he knew there was a man. There was a man named Zacchaeus that was ready to be saved. There was a man named Zacchaeus that was ready to see Jesus. And Zacchaeus put himself in that position to where he could see Jesus. Jesus is the one that saves the souls. And once you get saved, God promises us a home in heaven. In John chapter 14, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Hey, Jesus Christ has already gone to the cross of Calvary. He's already paved the way for you to get to heaven. You have the choice. Just like Zacchaeus had the choice, you must receive Him as your Savior. And the moment you do, He forgives you of your sins. He gives you a mansion in heaven, that promise that He's coming again. He's coming again. He is coming again, and He will... we could be raptured out of here right now. You understand that? The rapture could happen. You say, how could it happen? The Bible tells us how it could happen. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Hey, when Jesus Christ is going to appear in the clouds, there's going to be a trump, there's going to be a shout. The dead in Christ are coming out of the graves. We that are alive are meeting them up in the clouds to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. That is the promise of the Bible. But you see, too many people are looking for the Antichrist. They're not looking for Jesus Christ. The Bible says we're to be looking for Jesus Christ. We're not to be looking for the tribulation. We're not to be looking for signs. You see, many people are looking for signs in the world, okay? Hey, we need to be looking for Jesus. We need to get our eyes up, look on Jesus. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. In Titus 2:13, the Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to get our eyes up. Not looking around at these things. Get our eyes up. Get in the presence of a holy, 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 righteous God. Hey, have you been in the presence of Jesus before? Have you been in the presence of Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? I believe if you have, you would fall flat on your face. But when you see Jesus, your life will change forever. My life changed. Zacchaeus' life changed, no doubt, when he saw Jesus. Hey, let me ask you this. Christian, are you living your life for Jesus? Are you living your life for Jesus, or are you holding back? Are there areas in your life you're holding back? Zacchaeus didn't hold anything back. He put it all out there. What are you holding back? Why are you holding it back? Why don't you let the Lord have His way? Come into the presence of Jesus today. Don't fight that still small voice. Don't fight it. Don't fight that still small voice that's speaking to you, because one day it might not be speaking to you anymore. Hey, you know the rapture could happen today. Could happen right now. And you know what? It would be too late to win another soul. If the rapture happens today, it will be too late to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be too late to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. If the rapture happened today, it would be too late to get right with Jesus Christ. Don't wait. Don't hold back. Come before a holy, righteous God. Come into the presence of Jesus Christ. Come see Jesus today. Let's pray.